Welcome to episode 363 of the Tent and Thrive podcast, brought to you by Tent and Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 10-10 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. There has long been debate over whether women can be pastors, elders, or even Bible teachers, particularly when their students include men. Christians can and do disagree about these matters, and we will not take a position here. What cannot be disputed is the important roles women have played throughout the Bible as spiritual leaders, prophesying, evangelizing, and ministering in a variety of ways. We usually know her as the woman at the well, but I once heard her described as the woman who abandoned her water jar, an apt description because after talking with Jesus, the living water, John 4 verse 28 reports that she left her jar behind to go tell the people about Jesus. She left behind what she came to the well to do because she found more important work. Shortly thereafter, the text reports that many Samaritans believed in Christ because of her testimony, demonstrating she was quite the effective evangelist. The conversation Jesus has with her in John 4 is the longest recorded conversation Jesus has with anyone. Why would Jesus spend all that time talking theology with a woman if he didn't want her to tell anyone about it? He doesn't reprimand her for leaving her jar, her quote-unquote woman's work, behind. Rather, he encourages her spiritual pursuits and questions, then welcomes those she leads to him. The Samaritan woman listens with open attentiveness to Jesus as she asks him questions about her faith and hope. The longer she talks with him, the more her understanding grows until she sees the full truth. Jesus is the Messiah. Throughout this conversation, she demonstrates a posture of discipleship, learning from Jesus. She leaves her water jar behind, just as the disciples left their fishing nets, a sign of her complete embrace of this calling to follow Jesus. The nameless woman at the well was called to be a disciple and evangelist. What is God whispering to you about your own calling? Are you resisting that calling because of who you are and what you have done? Do you think your status, your level of education, your place of birth, your age or years of experience somehow disqualify you? God used a woman at a well who was a hated foreigner, who had been married 5 times and was living with a man who was not her husband, and she made a difference for the kingdom. For some reason, Huldah is always overlooked by the men who say women can't teach, though in her own day, she was anything but invisible. As the story goes, King Josiah's men were cleaning out the temple when they discovered a scroll of the book of the law given by Moses. Josiah asked several men, including the high priest, to go inquire of the Lord about the contents of the scroll. Who did all those important men seek out for answers from God? Huldah, a woman. It is worth noting that Huldah was married, but they went to her, not her husband, which for the record made perfect sense, seeing as how she was the prophet and he was the keeper of the royal wardrobe. It is also worth noting that Huldah was a contemporary of male prophets like Jeremiah, Zephaniah, and Nahum. The king's men had lots of great options, and they chose Huldah. She did not just instruct men, but men sought out her instruction. Are you someone others recognize as being close to God? Do people seek you out when they need wisdom and discernment from the Lord? If we follow Jesus, people should see something different about us. They should know that we can share truth from his word when they have a need. Dorcas was known for her good works and acts of love for the poor. She was much loved in the community of Joppa, where she lived and worked. Joppa was a city on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Dorcas was called Tabitha. Dorcas is a Greek name meaning gazelle, and Tabitha is the Aramaic rendering of the same name. Dorcas was especially known for making clothing for the needy in her town. When she became ill and died, the believers who knew Dorcas heard that Peter the Apostle was in the nearby town of Lydda, and they sent for him. The Bible does not specifically say that the disciples of Joppa were hoping for Peter to resurrect Dorcas, but they did call urgently for him. When Peter arrived at the home where Dorcas's body had been laid out, he went up to see the body. There were many widows there, weeping. They all showed Peter the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them, tangible evidence of Dorcas's loving service. What happened next is proof that our God is full of glorious, unrestrained power. Peter sent them all out of the room, then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter's motive, at least in part, for raising Dorcas to life, may have been for the sake of the widows and others in Joppa who needed the help Dorcas could provide. The resurrection of Dorcas was also a major reason so many people in Joppa believed. This miracle, performed in the name of the Lord, led many to faith in Christ. Dorcas is a fine example of how we are to meet the needs of those around us. Christians are to continue to remember the poor, according to Galatians 2, verse 10. Part of religion that God our Father accepts is to look after orphans and widows in their distress. So says James 1, verse 27. This was the type of religion that Dorcas practiced. Priscilla, along with her husband, is someone Paul names as a co-worker in Christ. And in Acts 18, Priscilla teaches Apollos, a learned man with a thorough knowledge of Scripture. Despite his considerable expertise, Priscilla is able to explain the way of God more adequately to him. Phoebe is mentioned only once in the Bible. In Romans 16 verses 1 to 2, when Paul writes, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchreae. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me." Letters of introduction to strangers were common in Bible times. The mention of Phoebe in this way means that she was probably either the bearer of the letter or accompanied those who took it to Rome. The name Phoebe means bright and radiant, and from Paul's comments about her, it seems that those words characterize her personality and her Christian life. Paul's reference to Phoebe as our sister indicates she was a member of the Christian church and his sister in Christ. Her designation as deacon, or servant in other Bible versions, could mean that she held an official position within the church as a deaconess, or simply that she was someone who was known to serve the church faithfully. Whether or not Phoebe had the title deaconess, it is clear that she was a trusted member of the body of believers in Cenchreae, a seaport about 8 or 9 miles from Corinth. Paul adds that Phoebe was a helper of many. Phoebe may have shown great kindness in various ways to other Christians, perhaps receiving them into her house in the manner of Martha and Mary. Perhaps she ministered to the sick, helped the poor, and aided widows and orphans in the manner of Tabitha. Maybe she ministered to strangers and travelers in the manner of John's elect lady in 2 John 1. Paul himself was a beneficiary of Phoebe's kind servant's heart. Whatever Phoebe's precise role in the church, it is clear that she was involved in ministry. Father, help us to accept your calling to work on behalf of the kingdom, despite who we are, what we have done, and despite any limitations placed upon us. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.